Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to our phone callers. Jason in Charlotte, North Carolina. You're first up today. Hi.
Hey, how's it going, Hank?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just want to let you know your radio show made the drive on 77 a lot better today.
Thank you.
All right, well, I have a question. If you look at the Ten Commandments, there's no asterisk under any of the commandments. And so I was wondering what you thought about war and if war is a sin.
Well, no. In fact, in some cases, if you didn't go to war, it would be a sin, because ultimately the greatest good principle demands that sometimes one country opposes the evil dictator in another country. During World War II, we opposed Hitler. And as a result of that, all kinds of lives were saved and all kinds of good eventually came out of that action. So, yeah, we have to recognize that there are very compelling reasons sometimes to go to war. If military action is not allowed in order to maintain order among nations, then police should not be permitted to maintain the order of a nation. So it's a leap of logic to allow the police to resist a murderer and at the same time not let a military force resist a murderous nation.
I was wondering, is there any Bible verses that you could give that support that?
Yeah. Wars are permitted by God in the same way that divorce is, because of the hardness of our hearts. The aggressive use of weapons is not commended. The defensive use of weapons is commended by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself. So there is principle in the scripture, but we're also making a theological deduction based on the greater good principle with respect to what should happen among nations. God uses nations in warlike capacities in order to further his own purposes. For example, the Canaanites, who were brutally killing their own children, sacrificing to idols, who were involved in such perversion that it was mind-boggling, were actually punished by God using the axe of his judgment, which was Israel. Later on, Israel itself, who had become so abominable that even the axe of some of the pagan nations were considered tame by comparison, God then used the Assyrians and the Babylonians as the axe of judgment against Israel. So even God sometimes uses nations to bring about his purposes and to rid the horror of the evil that's going on within those nations.
All right. Thanks a lot, Hank.
Hey, you got it, man. Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Matthew. He's listening in Tyler, Texas. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, Hank. I appreciate the time. Just a simple question, maybe not such a simple answer. Can you be a homosexual and still practice Christianity?
Well, first of all, I would argue with the premise of the question. Homosexuality is not an identity. Homosexuality is a behavior. And therefore, if you have come to faith in Christ, what you have said is, whatever my besetting sin is, I want to turn from it with God's help and follow Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. I want to do it his way as opposed to my own way. So it's a recognition that it's a sin. That does not mean that you cannot fall for the temptation of a besetting sin. Of course you can. And you are forgiven. So the point is, don't mistake a behavior for an identity. That's what the culture wants to foist on us, and that's simply selling us a bill of goods.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Want to go back to the phone lines. Let's talk next to Jessica, listening in New Mexico. Hi, Jessica.
Hi. How are you, Hank?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for taking my call. I just had a quick question, actually several, but I was actually just wondering, my friends and I are doing a Bible study, but a question came up about Acts 2 and what the meaning of Pentecost is and the history behind it.
Yeah, well, Pentecost is the unusual, non-normative act of restoring something that had been lost. At Babel, there was a confusion of tongues. At Pentecost, God spoke in miraculous way, in such a way that the gospel could go out to the nations once again. So Pentecost becomes a very powerful provision by God so that the early Christian church can be born in earnest and go out. It's not as though the church never existed, but it is now the church at Pentecost that is going to go out into the world just as Christ had commissioned the church to go out into the world. First, to teach people true worship, to teach people true oneness, and then to bring people into the body of Christ, which happens at Pentecost when Peter, without a bullhorn, without a microphone, is able to preach and 3,000 people stampede their way to Calvary.
Right. Awesome. Is it all right if I ask another question?
Yeah.
I was actually just wondering, what are the basic differences between Christianity, Catholicism, and Jehovah's Witness? We have a lot here, and they always come to campus and to NMSU, and then they ask us questions. So I was just wondering about that.
Well, remember that all Christians are tied together in fellowship through the essentials of the historic Christian faith. That's why you can't rightly consider a Jehovah's Witness a Christian, because they deny the essentials of the historic Christian faith. For example, they deny the deity of Jesus Christ. So we are united in our confession of the essentials of the historic Christian faith, and that's what forms the basis of our fellowship. And the importance can hardly be overstated. This is the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults, and essential Christian doctrine is also the North Star by which the course of Christianity is set. It's the everlasting reference point which guides the church through doctrinal storms that seek to sink it, and it is the very foundation on which the gospel itself rests, from Christ's deity to the eschatological certainty that he will appear again a second time to judge the living and the dead. So essential Christian doctrine is foundational to the gospel. So all that adhere to the essentials of the historic Christian faith can rightly be called Christian. Those who deny the historic Christian faith, and by the way, there are Catholics that do that. Not all Catholics do, but there are Catholics that deny some essentials. There are Presbyterians that deny some essentials. There are Episcopalians that deny some essentials. In fact, you can find in mainline Protestant churches today the complete eradication of the miraculous. That's what liberalism often does to denominations. So you can find in both Protestant circles and Catholic churches, you can find people denying essentials, much like what they do with respect to the Watchtower organization. So apostasy can happen in all kinds of different forms and in all kinds of different phases and all kinds of different places. But we hold in common with Rome the great ancient ecumenical creeds like the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed, and so forth.
Right. Oh, okay, great. Well, thank you so much for taking my call. I'm really excited I got to talk to you. God bless your ministry. Thanks.
God bless you as well. Thank you so much for those wonderful, warm words. And do remember, this ministry is able to do what we do not only because we have staff members in-house. It is because we have supporters all around the world who see it as their divine opportunity to reach other people. So when you're giving to us, you're actually giving through us. touching the lives of people for time and for eternity. If you listen to the broadcast for any length of time, you'll hear numbers of testimonies. People who say they came out of the kingdom of the cults as a direct result of this ministry. People who are equipped to be able to witness to other people. People who have grown in their discernment skills. People who have learned the spiritual disciplines. That's why we exist. A discernment ministry making a difference for time and for eternity. We ask you to join us. You can do that again in a safe, secure fashion by giving to this ministry on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions in just a few moments. So please don't touch that dial.
The Church of Almighty God, also known as Eastern Lightning, is a socially subversive pseudo-Christian cult. It follows a self-proclaimed female Christ whose heretical doctrines incite violence. Denying the Trinity and biblical authority, Eastern Lightning uses psychological intimidation, disrupts families, and has even perpetrated physical assaults. In graphic language, the counterfeit Christ exhorts followers to abandon their families and devote themselves to recruiting new converts, branding those who refuse as worthless. You can read more about the iron rod of this false almighty God in a special print issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI.
or visit us at equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Nikki listening in Arlington, Kansas. Hi, Nikki.
Hi, Hank.
How are you?
Oh, I've been better. I'm a little stressed out this evening.
Okay.
My son, we've lived in our house for 9 years, and we've always been told it's been haunted. And my son, since he was old enough to talk, he's had little play friends, and we never really thought much about it. But here lately, things have just been getting out of control. We have investigators that want to come to our house and believe that we're dealing with a lot of intelligent paranormal activity, if not demons. And my son seems to be the main focus of it. We see shadow, you know, dark figures. And then he has a black man, a white man, and a friend named Jeremy. Well, here lately, he's had dreams of being, you know, that his black man has choked him, and he woke up actually screaming last night from that. We have pictures of marks that have been scratched on his body. And he said that they're no longer his friends and that they won't play with him anymore and they want us to leave. And my husband and I are just kind of at our wit's end. There's, you know, doors opening and shutting, things like that. And we're dealing with the paranormal investigators and we're thinking about letting them come into the home, but we don't want to do anything that's going to adversely affect. And we do believe, you know, that there could be something, you know, bad, but we don't want to make it worse. And we need some direction, some biblical direction. And we're not finding any.
Yeah. What you need to do is apply a biblical worldview to this issue. First thing I can tell you is there's no such things as ghosts or noisy ghosts, poltergeists.
Okay.
Therefore, the spirits of the dead do not come back and harass the living. Secondly, I can tell you this, that while we can give ourselves over to the powers of darkness, the powers of darkness cannot scratch or bite or maim us in any way. So to give into that worldview is to give into a secularized version of demonic warfare, not one that's rooted in Christian principles, but rather one that's rooted in paganism. I've written a book on this called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. And in that book, I lay out the principles from a biblical perspective on how you can be victorious in spiritual warfare. If you put on the full armor of God every day as we're commanded to do, then you are immune to spiritual warfare. In other words, you're invincible in the battle. It's not that spiritual warfare doesn't happen, it's that you become invincible. And the power of God will protect you. If you do not know how to put on the full armor of God, then you're a guaranteed casualty in spiritual warfare. And therefore, I would highly recommend my book, The Covering. And I think if you, along with your son, along with your husband, would read through this material, you'll come to a true valuation of things. The principle in spiritual warfare is always this: greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The power of God to protect is a whole lot more poignant than the power of Satan to pillage. So we have to put the emphasis in the right place. That's precisely what The Covering does. I think The Covering would be extraordinarily helpful to you.
Okay, wonderful. My son is 4. I did forget to mention that, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. And okay. Again, The Covering, you can get it through the Christian Research Institute. All you have to do is hang on.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jared, listening in Center, Missouri. Hi, Jared.
How you doing, Hank?
Good. How are you?
Doing all right. Quick question. I teach the youth at the local church we attend there in Center. And we had some questions come up, and I thought, you know, I'll find the answer, which I never really could find the answer, so that's why I'm calling you.
Okay.
Where did race enter in to mankind? And explain that. I mean, you know, when God flooded the earth, Noah and a handful of people were on the boat. Everyone else was destroyed. So where did the blacks and the Chinese and all the other races that there is come into effect? Did they branch off of Noah's sons?
Yeah. Look, before the flood, all men spoke the same language. And after the flood, you read in Genesis chapter 11 about the Tower of Babel,
right,
where the languages of people were confused. And as a result, people were divided. And therefore, there is such a thing that genetics deals with. It's called the founder principle. Groups isolated because of the confusion of their languages only drew upon a fraction of the total gene pool. And therefore, they have different genetic proclivities. But remember, in a Christian worldview, there's no such thing as race. In an evolutionary worldview, there is. Evolutionists believe that some races are more advanced than other races. Some races are headed for extinction. And in their view, only the strong survive. It's the struggle for existence that ultimately becomes paramount in that paradigm. But in a biblical worldview, we're just all people. We have different genetic proclivities, but we're people. And the only thing we think about when we think about race is to run the race, not hierarchy of races.
Well, and I didn't mean, I meant like, you know, we're all the same. I know that. But I mean, when they were saying like, you know, the Chinese look different than us, the blacks are different than us. And they say, well, that wasn't like that on the ark, and God created man in his own image. So
right, but I've dealt specifically with that, right? The fact that God created us in his image does not mean that we are reproductions of God, number one. It does mean that we are reflections of God. We reflect his communicable attributes. His incommunicable attributes are attributes that find no parallel in humanity. But as human beings ourselves, we have different genetic proclivities depending on the isolation that comes as a result of groups only drawing upon a fraction of the gene pool. And therefore, there are changes within kinds in a biblical worldview. There are changes within the dog family and within the cat family, but there are never changes from one kind to another kind. And so humans are always humans in a biblical worldview. And the reason I believe that this is important to underscore is in the evolutionary paradigm, that's not the case. As Thomas Huxley put it, no rational man cognizant of the facts believes that the average Negro is the equal, still less the superior of the white man. It is simply incredible to think that he would be able to compete successfully with his bigger brain, smaller jawed rival in a contest which is carried on by thoughts and not by bites. I mean, that's the evolutionary paradigm. Because you have the struggle for existence. You have survival of the fittest. But again, that's not part of a biblical worldview. In a biblical worldview, we can draw upon a fraction of the gene pool and therefore have certain genetic proclivities as a result of the founder principle that I mentioned. But there's no need to say that we are different. We are just human beings with different genetic proclivities. That's all.
I appreciate you clearing that up for me.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Stanley, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hi, Stanley.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. My situation was this. I was raised a Catholic, and I thought I was a Christian because I was Catholic. Well, when I was about 32, 33 years old, you know, I started looking around and wondering why, if Catholicism is the one true religion, the way I was taught, why aren't I different, or my friends and I, why aren't we different? Because the group that I was associated with wasn't. We're all living in sin. Anyways, so I cried out to God, and I got saved. I got born again and radically transformed and changed. And a lot of my friends stayed in the Catholic Church. That was in the 80s when the charismatic renewal hit the Northeast. A lot of my friends got saved, and I told them they could not stay in the Catholic Church. And in my opinion of that is based on when Peter succumbed to the Jewish pressure, he started teaching on circumcision. You know, and he was sliding back into the traditions of Judaism. And anyways, you know, to me that, and then Paul rebuked him and he left Judaism and stopped teaching circumcision to be a Christian. So anyways, I use that as an example of why a Catholic cannot go back to the Catholic Church, period. And I just thought I'd ask your opinion on that.
Well, I mean, here's the issue. You have to be united on the basis of the essentials of the historic Christian faith. If you go into a liberal Protestant church, you will find people who disavow essential Christian doctrine. Liberalism within the Protestant denominations is just as insidious. This is the idea that modern society can embrace concepts that have been repudiated by an age of scientific enlightenment. So they get rid of the virgin birth, they get rid of the bodily resurrection, the infallibility of Scripture. The Bible has to be demythologized in their view. That is a blight, a pox on Christianity within the Protestant denominations. So the issue is we must adhere to the essentials of the historic Christian faith. If we do, then we can rightly be called Christian. But if you're in a liberal denomination and denying the incarnation or the resurrection, you can't rightly be called Christian. Just as if you were in a Catholic fellowship and you deny essential Christian doctrine, then you can't rightly be called Christian. See you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Truth matters, life matters more, details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.